If there's something going on at a different layer of the business that you are not pleased with the performance, you looking down and pointing down at that manager is not helpful. I would invite that the first thing that you could think that could help you get into action is, what have I done to put my fingerprints on this situation? It's most likely you haven't had the cadence with your direct report to ensure that they're having the conversations that they need to have. So first, it's the process.
What's your responsibility? Gotcha. Right.
So yep. the process with the cadence of checking in. So again, that's not sexy, but that is what I'm seeing in successful members. The second thing that came to mind.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, along with my co-host, Mr. Chad Peterman, Chatty P, also known as Pastor Chad, depending on which group he's in. Chad, how you doing today, buddy?
I am doing good. I am better because of the guest we have on here and the respect I have for him and really what he's helped build. So excited to talk to him and just excited to be on here. It's always good to be in the company of good people.
Oh, God, you're so sweet. Couldn't you hear the excitement in Chad's voice? Like, he's Mr. Excitement.
I don't bring a whole lot of excitement to the ball game. It's pretty even keel.
But if you're watching right now, you can see he was smiling big, like, and so he means it. Like, he means it. So thanks for sharing that, Chad. Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, you've talked about, NextStar in general and your, you and how it's impacted your business and you personally and, on many episodes. So, and listen, to the listeners who, this isn't all about NextStar, okay? It's not about just NextStar. Like, that's going to be a part of the story because that's where our guest Julian's pulling from. But, like, it's not just about that. So hang on. You can't just, like, bail out because there's a lot of good stuff in here I want to talk about. And a lot of it's around just kind of the state, you know, of the home service industry from our guest, you know, Julian's perspective. So Julian Skadden, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a minute since you've been on last time, brother.
A few things have changed, just a few in the industry, and I'd love the update. And to, you know, I want to echo what Chad offered, the respect I have for you both. Let's just think back 3 years from the time ago when I was last with you, Chris, and how much has changed in the industry? Well, how much has changed in your own businesses? How much has changed economically? How much has changed just on the landscape, environmentally? The amount of change that our industry has seen here in the past few years has been, you know, beyond what we had seen probably the previous two decades. So honored to be in the presence with you two. You two have very different perspectives. And that's the beauty of NextStar. We have the perspective of about 1,000 businesses. And so we have this opportunity to gauge and look regionally between different trades. But the reality is, we learn from our members. We are brought new ideas, new concepts by our members testing them. Some come to us, but we always test them before we roll them out or call them leading practices. So, man, I'm excited to catch up and thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, man, we're glad to have you back on here. And I think that it would be good just for those who are listening who haven't heard of NextStar, let's just assume that there's people who have no clue what the hell it is.
Fair.
Other than, a leading organization in the home services space with a lot of exceptional leaders and businesses that are part of it. Maybe just kind of give the listeners the overview of, actually, let me just back up a second. I do want you to give a quick high level overview of what NextStar is. And then we're getting to the actual like industry specific type of questions and things like that. But the thing that's I want listeners to know, because I'm not going to ask this part of Julian, I'll say it for you. But on the last episode before we did this, I just went back and re-listened to it. And I have remembered from that, like your past, you know, from being homeless at 16 and then you kind of got into the plumbing world and became a service manager and you went to NextStar. Like, so you've been in it a little bit. So right. For our listeners, it's not like that was just Julian, you know, Julian Skadden, and he's the CEO of Next or president of NextStar, CEO of NextStar. Like, no, he kind of went through it and he's been through some shit. He's seen some shit. And so you talking about like what we've seen over the last 3 years, like, yes, there's been a bit of a wave we've been riding in the home services space, but you kind of came up through, you came up to the trades and you got to, you know, learn from Jack Tester. And I know you talk a lot about Jack and like, so you've been through this stuff. So as he's sharing with you, just keep in mind that he's come up through the business as well. Now he's working with, like I said, 1,000 you know, you have 1,000, you know, businesses that are part of it, members, partners. I can't remember exactly what you call it. I don't want to call it something it's not, but you know, so you've been through it and you work with a lot of exceptional leaders in the home services space. So, so to our listeners, this is where Julian's pulling from. So Julian, if you would just give a quick, you know, high level of what Nexstar is.
Great. Thank you for that. Yeah. So not a talking head who's never actually done it. Got the fingernails dirty, boys. So yeah, Nexstar Network, the thing that really defines out of all the leading practices groups in the home services, there's plenty. There's individuals, there's groups. There are many places where you can seek support in home services. Nexstar is unique in the fact that we are over 30 years old, but the primary factor that is unique in this industry, and probably I haven't found another organization like it, we are truly member owned. So that's the distinction. The reason we use the term member is because you are a member. You can leave at any time. But we actually are owned by our members. Every member has one equal share. The share has no cash value. The value is to vote in your board of directors, to visit our regional events, to help directionally, strategically through our board of directors guide the organization. And I'll tell you, Chris, when last time we spoke, I had just taken the seat here, president and CEO. So being a former member, so again, remembering I ran my own business, but I was a member, then an employee, I was a coach and a trainer and the VP. But as you all know, in leading your businesses and the listeners know, it's very different when you take over that seat. And then reporting to a board, a member-owned organization, has been very different from anything that I've ever led. So while there's a lot of honor and service in it, there's also a lot of dynamics. And then you sprinkle in a changing industry, and boy, oh boy, has this been a, you know, a master course on change management and guiding and growing an organization. And we've grown. We're a healthy organization. But I would say that's the biggest factor right there, is that we're member-owned. We do have some market restrictions. Only so many members can be allowed in a given population. So some of the things you may have heard about Nexstar, if you've heard about them, or you may hear coming up, if you hear terms like country club or exclusive, it's really based on proprietary information wanting to be shared with our members and having some high value to it. So it's not meant to be for everyone, but it's not meant to hold back the industry. As you can see, many of the thought leaders that we have out there today originated from Nexstar or were parallel to Nexstar. Our founders, George Brazil and Frank Blau, you know, these are names that are now starting to maybe fade a little, but for the long timers, we know who those are. Now these new names are arising, but many of them came from this school of thought of raising the industry, raising your businesses, creating better communities, great opportunities for your employees. That's what we believe in.
Got it. You know, and one thing is, you kind of said it, it's, you know, not for everybody. That's part of the value of this thing, is it's not for everybody. I mean, everybody's kind of in different positions in their business, which is what Rhino X is. And that's the first place you and I met. That was actually the very first one. And I met Julian there. That was in 2021. Yeah, 2021. Mm-hmm. And Gary Vaynerchuk was there for like three, four hours, something like that, with us hanging out in the middle of the desert. Chad shaking his head.
Yeah, we were literally in the desert, Chad.
Yeah, it was a long, long bus ride.
Dusty shoes, rather fancy shoes, and they're all dusty. But can I jump in here? And you cut this if you want. You cut this if you want. But, you know, that's, here's one thing that I've seen also. Now we see the Rhino X events, which were, I would say, due to the quality and the industry and the way that you did them, very new. And it was confusing even for Nexstar members as they look at a Rhino X event and a Nexstar super meeting. And there was this rationalization period in their minds where the Rhino X is a small group. It's an event that has an appropriate price tag for the value you get. I'll say it that way. Super meeting was us bringing our members together once a year. We still continue to do it. Price point, not near the same, though we like to have, you know, similar levels of education and entertainment is the way I'll say it. But I want to congratulate you. I want to thank you for the diversity and the stretch that you're bringing to the industry, but also call out to some of your listeners when there's confusion, where they wonder, you know, is it competitive? Is it, you know, conflicting? Is it getting in the way? I view it all as raising the bar of the industry. I just simply think that there was some education needed on a Nexstar member side to say, look, if we're going to throw a Rhino X, just you better believe the price tag is going to change from what you all are used to, because our members are a little bit spoiled. We take good care of them. Mm-hmm. And what I'm offering, though, for those level of events, I love what it's bringing to the industry, how now we're starting to see more thought leaders put on more events. So there's lots of options out there. And that's why I love your podcast. So you can help people drill back down to what are the basics, what are the fundamentals, where should they focus? Because there are a lot of distractions also.
Dude, I never looked at it as a competitive event, like until you were just talking about that. And you know what's interesting is
I didn't either until they were.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, that's, I mean, honestly, it's like, I mean, it's cool to hear that, like that, maybe that came up, but it wasn't that. Like it was just to bring this small group together to actually create like intimate relationships. Like there's value in all. And listen, there's a bunch of conferences, you know, that are out there now. Super Meeting is by far, I think, one of the most phenomenal meetings you can go to that's well thought out with great education, and it has good speakers. And like, you know, I was able to, you guys had what, Hajako, I think, was there last year. And I was able to slip in there. but it was like, you got Gary coming this year. It's so cool. Like, listen, to me, it's not the same. Like this, you know, the Rhino X is an intimate, small event. And the point was like, I really wanted to bring it to just Rhino customers out of the gate. But then I thought, well, there's a few people that want to be on board with it. So we got a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. And now it's like, nah, I capped it. Like, it's not that. But I was excited that you were a part of the first one, because you kind of seen the evolution of the whole thing. You're like, listen, I take it as a compliment if it's become part of other people's plans and theirs. And listen, we've seen other events go out there called blank, blank X. Like, that's a pretty clear, you know, indication that, like, what does they say? Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, or something like that. Like, to me, I think it's exciting. But the point is I got to meet you there and spend some time with you there. And I got to know, hey, Lance, Julian likes his cigars. You know, he likes his bourbon or whiskey. Maybe I can't remember if you're with, you might not be either one of those. I forget. I got the whiskey's Ganter. I'm a bourbon guy.
Yeah. Bourbon's nice.
Chad really likes his Zimas still, though. So and his Bartles and Jones.
Well, the reason I brought that up was really to make a point here. Let's get it back to principles. As you always say, let's cut through the crap. Let's get to the point. Number one, I wanted to give you your flowers, direct and in person. I want you to know that what you created has elevated the industry. And sometimes that confusion creates conversation, which is always good. A conversation always shows the strength of the relationship if people are willing to have the conversation. But for the listeners, let's focus for a moment on what was the principle. So as you unpack and listen a little bit to what Chris was sharing, his intent was pure. His focus was clear and his vision was executed very clearly. And that's why it's grown incrementally year over year, where he has to make these adjustments and real-time decisions. But he did not say, I'm creating this event to go against Super Meeting. There are some events that have done that or have tried, and they really don't do well. They really traditionally haven't done well. And I'm not saying that they're not quality events. I'm just saying when your intent is to focus on your market, your direction, play your game, run your race. And that's something that Nexstar is hyper-focused on at this time, is what is our race? Who do we serve? We serve second-stage businesses. Our mission is to take the world's best tradespeople, turn them into the world's best business people. So even that in and of itself could have an expiration date on it. And we're watching our members grow and advance into new and amazing heights, which our founders, my predecessor, never could have imagined. So the landscape will continue to change. Get real clear on your value offering. And I'm talking to the listeners here because I watched Chris do it. I've watched Chad do it. And what I've watched while I've seen them do it, growing businesses that don't happen by luck, grit, discipline, and focus, but a very clear vision and intentionality on who they're serving and how they're going to do it. So I wanted to call out principle number one, as I saw you apply it relative to leading practices and how you serve the industry, and also encourage anything we talk about to have listeners unpack what's the principle here, what's the thing that's made it successful. So I wanted to call you out and give you some love.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the one thing I would say too, having been to both events and been a Nexstar member for, it'll be 10 years next year. It just seems like yesterday we joined. You know, I think the biggest thing for me, at least having, you know, been a member and been to Chris's event as well, is, you know, I think when you think about competing events and different stuff like that, to me, they're all in service of building the community. And the stronger that we can build the community within the trades, the stronger we all become. And I've witnessed that firsthand, whether that's me getting help from, you know, another Nexstar member or someone at one of Chris's events, or me lending a hand and saying, hey, yeah, we're doing that really well, or we think we are, you know, poke some holes in it, or hey, here's the SOP for how we did that. And I think that, you know, I think we've done a good job as an industry of being very, you know, outgoing and willing to help. And to me, these events just foster that sense of community that we're all hoping to bring to the table and hoping to, as you said, Julian, elevate what the product was 10 years ago. How do we elevate that in these businesses? How do we elevate that so people can see success and create opportunity for all of those that they're serving?
Yeah, man. And that's why I have you on here, Julian. Like, elevate's the right word, is that's what we're all like, that's what we're trying to do, especially even, you know, more so for us on this podcast right now. That's why I have you here. And because of your, I want to see things from your point of view, from your seat in your position, you know, leading this, leading Nexstar and all of the members in it that you have responsibility over, right? Because you have your own things that you're probably paying attention to, which I absolutely want to talk about. But then you also have, you talked about, you have a board of directors too, with some exceptional leaders in that, on that board, who probably have some opinions they've shared a time or two over the last, you know, couple of years. You know, but you also have to listen to the, you know, you have to make sure you're listening to the members, right? And then making decisions, you know, based off of all of the above. So if we could, I want to jump kind of right into, let's do this. Let's talk about, let's talk about the state of the home services industry from your view, Julian, right now, just from your view, like the, from your perspective, like what are you experiencing right now? Or what are you paying attention to? Again, from Julian's seat, not the members, not the board, from Julian's seat, what are you paying attention to in the home services market right now?
Yeah, that's really fair. I love that. The seat of a leader, you traditionally see farther than the rest of your team right now. You know, they're doing the work, so you see a little bit beyond. And that's why your podcast is helpful with the folks that you bring in to help others who are doing the grind in their work, that they can see a little bit ahead. So what I'm seeing is, by and large, we all saw this. So I'll start here. You know, we saw some good times. We saw that there was disposable income. There were probably larger jobs that were pulled forward with the pandemic. You know, so there was some money that came at us pretty quickly in this industry, and all you had to do was answer the phone and show up and make it happen. And then over the last 18, definitely last 12 months, you know, things have tightened up a little. Then we get the good old election year. You know, you get that news. You get some increased lending rates. You know, I forget what year it was, but in the past couple of years, you know, I forget what it was. Anytime I have a service professional out, I always ask them, what's the financing option? Number one, I want to see if they offer it. And then if they don't, I ask them. And I have decent credit. And so I just asked them, I said, you know, what kind of percentages are you seeing out here? And the numbers they were giving me just blew my mind away. You know, these double-digit interest rates, just insane. So I look at all of this. And what we're seeing and what I'm hearing from where I sit, so therefore what I'm focused on, is this phrase at the beginning of every calendar year. I have the privilege and the support of our board and our members that not only I, but our senior leadership team, Nexstar has grown, so we're a larger organization. So we send our senior leaders out. We go to these regional meetings and we just listen to what members are talking about. We get them together. We get food there. We have a presenter, and call counts are down. Call counts are down. Call counts are down. The number of times I've heard that this year, call counts are down. Okay. So what I'm focused on.
So it's not just marketing's fault. That's what I'm hearing you say, right?
It's always your fault. You chose that, man. It's great. I want the better leads. Come on, Chris. I know you got them. Turn the funnel, right? And this is, it's so bizarre. And you know what's interesting is my, you know, 2+ decades in this industry of not only being a technician, of not only working in the office, not only leading these businesses, it's bizarre because it's almost habitual. That people just run, I need more leads. Well, I need more leads. You know, it's a very human reaction to think you need more. And what I'm focused on, what we're focused on, the content of Super Meeting, but we will roll this out to the industry through white papers and case studies as much as possible to share with everyone. How are you managing the asset that you currently have? You know, that's boring. That's not sexy. This is very Dave Ramsey-ish. You know, he's a person who talks about finance and taking care of your money at home, but I'll tell you what, and I was just having a conversation with someone very recently who's a well-known individual in home services. You know, he has a large following, has a large audience. And, you know, he called me up. Same question, though, just directly. Julian, what are you noticing? I said, look, the blocking and tackling. Chris, you and I talked about this the other day. It's the blocking and tackling. It's the fundamentals. And here's what I told the person I was chatting with earlier today, because they were ready to go and, you know, host a smaller group meeting for the people they influence. Growth is right in front of you, gang. So here's what I'm thinking about. What I'm thinking about and focused on due to what I see with our members and the trends that I've seen. Those who focused on blocking and tackling are actually doing well Now, they'll say they're flat, and my question is always flat to last year or flat to your budget. Usually they're flat to their budget because their budget was a little bit aggressive. They got a little bit of an ego mixed in the budget, so that's okay. But whichever it is, they're steady. They're steady. They're cutting some dead weight. They're cutting some fat. But here's the other thing that you're going to mix and you're going to hyper-accelerate, and it's the leveraging of technology. It's these efficiencies that we have right now. And I notice the two sponsors you have on your podcast now. When you learn to leverage these efficiencies without vilifying them, nor celebrating them as the second coming as your savior, because guess what? They can't do it on their own. No technology or any device that you have does it on your own. I remember when we went to tablets in the field, everybody thought conversion rates were going to go up. The average take, no, it doesn't. The blocking and tackling of still meeting with the technicians and explaining. The blocking and tackling of still checking in and keeping the homeowner updated. So blocking and talent and tackling mixed with some emerging technologies, we have a prime accelerant right now. And that's my prediction for the future. For those of you who will focus on your business, focus on the unsexy benchmarks and the activities that you need to do day in and day out. And now you're going to be able to sprinkle in some efficiencies and leveraging efficiencies. There is some hyper accelerant coming for people like the Petermans of the world, for sure, because I'm sure he's already on the front of it. But the consumer focus is getting ready to shift with the economic forecast we have in the next 18 months ahead of us. You better have your ducks in a row because there's some prime time coming up for you guys.
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on Blue-on for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from Blue-on's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. Blue-on's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
Yeah, I think just a comment on that. I think that one thing I feel like people couldn't agree with you more on everything that you said. And we went through that here, you know, hey, how do we run a call? Let's get back to the basics here. And I think that one piece there at the end with the technology that I feel like people get misconstrued is I feel like we often equate technology with AI and that it's somehow going to take the place of the people that we have. At the end of the day, we are a service business. We are in the business of selling skilled labor. So the minute that we can start to realize that these technologies are to increase the efficiency of the people that we have, and that doesn't mean they're going to run more calls. That doesn't mean that they can only be in so many places at once, but it's how do we leverage these to make their job easier? And then how do we make it a better customer experience? I think that's when people can really harness technology, is that it's not going to like take the place of half of your staff. Now, you know, you may gain some efficiency to where maybe you don't need to add that next person, is that they can do something a little bit faster. But I think so often these people have taken these technologies out of context and trying to use them to get rid of people, when it's how do we use these to supplement the people that we already have?
Chad, that was really good. I'm so glad that you said that. It's like that is spot on. And you don't have to take on a bunch at the same time. Like just master one at a time if you need to. Yeah. And because there's so much technology that's flying around right now. There's so many things thrown at us. I can't remember which episode we were talking about this on, Chad, but I think that's also a mistake that we make, especially if you're on social media, right? And you are in any of the industry groups, like you'll see people throwing all kinds of stuff out and everybody kind of shouting about this company or that company. Well, you don't always know what's actually going on behind the scenes in that business. And like, did they implement it the right way? Did they not? So yes, I agree with you. It should enhance your efficiency and not replace everybody. Like it just might not be that you have to hire as many to do the same job as great or as efficient. So thanks for saying that, Chad.
That's what I'm here for, right?
Yeah, man. You're very thoughtful. You're very thoughtful with that. So Julian, thanks for sharing that. I want to hear what, you know, let me back up one second. Like, I can't remember exactly, you met my wife, Anna, before, Julian, but she had an analogy she would share about like this, about going up the mountain, you know, and that how some of your employees, you know, only can see what they can see from the level of the mountain that they've climbed. you know, and we as leaders, if we're at the top of the mountain, we can see a little bit further. We understand a little bit more. We've made the journey. We might know more about one decision, you know, why we made a decision. Well, we will know about why we made a decision, but we still have to be looking forward, and we got to make some guesses. We have to make some guesses, right? On like, is this going to be, and then you got to just like put the, you know, flag in the ground and run with it on things. But you also have a board of directors. It's crazy because, you know, now I also, you know, I also have a board I have to report to.
You deserve that.
Yes, I do. And it's been a great time. And they love Chris and how I approach board meetings, but, you know, but I stand by what I come to the board meeting with, because I believe based on this, my experience, same thing with you, you have a board of directors and some who've been incredibly successful contractors, you know, in business and in the business, like, you know, obviously, but what are they, is there things that the board brings to you that says, hey, you need to be paying attention to X, Y, Z. And you're like, you know, do you have any of that kind of like, we need to like really talk through this because I disagree, which by the way is healthy. Like it is healthy. You can just be like a yes man to everything. But that's also the point of having a board, right?
Right.
Is to have diversification on and things like that. But what do you like? Do you deal with that stuff? I'm sure you do.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So yeah, let's just start with that. So as you're listening and you consider how you can leverage a board of directors or a personal board of directors or a board of advisors or a mastermind group.
Your peer group or whatever. Doesn't
exactly,
matter.
Exactly. So first think about now, just because Chris and I have them, you know, as part of our business structure, there's a reason. Why would successful businesses create these structures? Again, let's look at the principles of what they are. It's for gaining additional perspectives and additional governance. Let's be direct here in that too, that there are checks and balances. But the multiple perspectives is the first thing that I heard when you mentioned that. Yes, there are some things that are hyper important to a board member, possibly either by position, function, location, or trade. And that's similar with our members. Whether a board member or not, just opened an email to start the day today. And it was, hey, do you remember me? We went to dinner 3 years ago and there's this new technology and I want to see it on stage at Super Meeting. Oh boy, well, Super Meeting's 3 weeks away and you couldn't even articulately describe the new equipment or whatever, you know, something they were excited about and they want everybody to know about it. So first, think about who you have surrounding you and look to create a board of advisors, a mastermind, a peer group, whatever you want to call it. So start there. But the beauty in a structured board is you do also have that governance component. So that's where we can get back to, okay, here's a thought and idea. Now it may be regional. It may be something they led well in their business. And as you're listening to this To The Point podcast, there are some things, and I love that you brought this up. So I want to go back to tie this into this topic. As you're looking at social media platforms, there are no shortage right now of people getting money to create something new to serve the home services. And of course, they're going to tell you how great it is. It's been working great at all one locations where I've been running it. So they have this great track record. They don't have a long history. And it's not to diminish them, but it's to say this. Our job at Nexstar, by and large, is to prove it out that it is scalable. Now, we have seen some either technologies or processes that work either at a great regional level, or maybe they work just with a certain trade, or maybe it's just the personality of the leader. Maybe it's just the personality of the leader that they have the drive and the execution to pull it off. You know, there's some amazing guys I know that are huge thought leaders that do amazing things in their business, but it's not scalable. If they're not here tomorrow, there really is no process. We're all riding the wind, you know, through our sails. And what we get, the privilege of having the disagreements that I'm able to have with our board of directors, is we have an aligned focus. We have the mission. We have the vision. We have all the principles that we can point back to when we disagree. I'm sure you have this too, Chris. What is our end game? What is our mission? Now, whether it's an employment rate, whether it's an employee engagement rate, whether it's a retention rate, whether it's a financial goal, you have to have that clear first before you surround yourself with people. Otherwise, there is no governing rule to bring the conversation back to the point. And so what we have here is caring individuals. I sincerely believe the most uncomfortable conversations come from the people that care about you the most, unless they're just like a mean-spirited conversation. I'm talking about reoccurring conversations. I'm talking about things that make you uncomfortable, things that make you stretch, things that make you grow. All of the things that we like to say to our employees, you know, so as Chris mentioned, like we're the leaders, we're at the top, we see more. Well, guess what? your board of directors may see more perspectives than you do. And in even with the view that I have, it's quite possible that I have a fixed perspective or a fixed view. So we sit down, we check in monthly. I have a weekly one-to-one with my boss. The total board meets quarterly, and we have the pulse and the rhythm of our mission and our vision at the forefront. Rabbit holes will happen. Conversations will shift. Right. Someone will see a new thing. Julian, how come you guys aren't doubling down here? Why aren't we seeing more of that? Why am I seeing so much of this? And it's through the conversation and the context where we both can learn. Either they can learn to be more supportive, or we can learn that the message isn't clear enough, or we can find out that we're off track. So I wanted to talk a little bit there about the importance of your network as it relates to boards as well.
Yeah, we have, Chad and I have a group we're in, we're just talking, like, we have a group text that goes, and it's like, I know some of the guys, it's Tommy and Chris, and Aaron Gaynor, and like some of our buddies, like our little peer group. And I mean, even today we're talking about payroll processing, like options, to one another. Like, that's not sexy, but it is if you,
it is,
can be sexy, but
yep.
It is good to have that. And I thought that one of the key things that you said is, those are healthy, like, disagreements. Like, it's just you're only coming from your perspective, and then you can work through to get to it. Like, you don't want somebody who's just yes manning you the whole time. Like, you need somebody to push on you too. That's the benefit of having the peer group. And you've heard, like, the people talk about your network is your net worth, and like all these things you've heard, or your the median of the circle you hang out with. And I used to think that was all total BS until I figured out, like, oh, there's that. That's actually totally true, because it's the skill level of the people that you're hanging out with, who might have a different view from the top of their mountain that might be bigger than your mountain. Right. So I think that's really important to have a good peer group. And my question around, like, the board of directors wasn't so much about, like, having the board of directors, because most people listening do not have that. It's more so about the group that you've surrounded yourself with that has the skill to help you work through the problems or the issues, and then can help give you the tools on how to do it. That's the thing. And so, and I know that Chad, has said, many times over the years about how he's used different parts of things that he's learned from Nexstar and building, like, he wasn't trying to reinvent anything. He was just trying to take the process that was already learned by someone and then take it and make it his own. And so, Chad, can I tell, I'm just basically telling your story for you. Do you mean to just keep doing that for you? Do you need me to be your guy?
No, I always tell people that I've recommended to Nexstar, or really any group, is like, there's like, everybody has their opinions. I know when I first started back in 2015, we were a new construction business trying to fake it as a residential business, trying to figure the thing out. And I just took every word that my coach said, and whatever he said went. And we just didn't have, we limited our opinions. Now things have changed and morphed as we get bigger and new challenges and all of that stuff, but it doesn't make that advice that I first received bad, because it worked at the beginning. But it was not me taking, I think I'll take 50. We talk about a lot about this with, our field professionals running, like, well, are you running the process? Well, I'm kind of running a little bit of it. Well, you're not really giving it a fair shake if you don't just try it for a little bit. And I think a lot of that stuff, especially with the landscape that we're in and all the advice out there and the technology and the this and the that, it's like, where do I start? Where do I, what do I do? And it's find that resource, whether it be Nexstar, whether it be something else that has a playbook that has actually worked, and then take those things and then just implement them. I think the most frustrating thing, and I'm sure Julian would say this as well, is, there's a lot of people who, oh, well, I'm a part of that. Well, do you do anything that they say? Well, not really, but we're getting there. And it's like, no, you just got to go do it. And take the advice that you get from others and use that, and hold yourself accountable. And then more importantly, find other people that can hold you accountable. Who are those people that, are going to call you, whether it be a board of directors or just peers that are going to say, hey man, you said last month you were going to put that in place. Where are you at? Well, I haven't got around to it. Well, you got 30 days, let's get around to it so that we can actually see some results in what we're actually trying to do.
Little accountability. Yeah.
Chad, I usually tie that, what you're saying there, I tie it back to like the way I think about working out or going to a trainer, physical fitness or a gym class. When you very first go, you went there for a reason. You were seeking a prescription, an advice, some programming, whatever. Just listen. So I had been on a journey for about a decade, had a serious health scare over 10 years ago. Then I got hyper-focused and I was crazy lean, fit, wouldn't do anything, man. And now I'm actually what I call a happy person, where I do a little bit of what I want and I still work out. But, you know, I'm not as crazy or hyper-focused as I was relative to that. But my point in this is when you go to a group, to Chad's point, just start with the program. And I've seen so many people go, you know, they'll start with, they'll join a new fitness class and they're already altering the moves or challenging the coach. And my advice to them, then they look at me, you know, at least a few years ago, I was fit and they look at me and go, well, you know, why are you following his advice? You look like you know what you're doing. And it's like, look, just stick to the program. And then as you don't see the gains or the changes you want, then I start to scale the moves a little bit differently. Then I might get into my nutrition, because your business, to me, in my opinion, can be very, very similar to the way that you take care of your health. And here's what I mean by that. There are some basic fundamental principles which do not change. You need to figure those out, get those early basic rules, processes, and all that established. But then after that, guess what? I guarantee that I probably have some food allergies that Chris nor Chad have. And if I don't address that in my business or my health personally and directly, there are some moves in the gym that maybe I'm better at that Chris or Chad. So I double down on those. So now you do need to take your business with those fundamentals and decide what your end outcome is. Where are you headed with your business? That's also a very important thing to consider. What is your exit strategy? Because at some point we all exit. And now have your patterns, your beliefs, your behaviors set towards that end. Otherwise, you're just being selfish and doing what you want. And I've seen that too many times, give people some individual success, but not enduring success with a business that can either be purchased, handed over, or grow and create new opportunities for employees. And the reason I get so passionate about this, and I'm sure I brought this up 3 years ago with you, Chris, is I was that guy. When I was running my own business, I was so damn smart. I took Nexstar to a certain point, but I couldn't get past being the answer guy. I loved everybody in the business running to me, and I loved being the only person interacting with my coach, because then I looked even smarter. And that business hit a ceiling. It stopped growing. The growth that we've had at Nexstar is because of the number of uncomfortable perspectives and conversations. I'll say it like this to be halfway funny, that I've had to endure because I have a board. But when I was an individual performer, nobody had it. You know, I had a manager who maybe, you know, as long as I was hitting numbers, I didn't have the same conversations. But when you start leading these large organizations, you create so much opportunity for so many people that you now start to need these other specialists, is what I would offer, in the same way that you might need a dietary specialist or a workout specialist to get you into the next phase of your professional career, if it's physical working out. Doing my best to draw an analogy here to say that variances will emerge as your proficiency in the basics becomes habitual. Never means you don't keep revisiting them and check on them and inspect them, but you will actually get more freedom in your growth to better define yourself. I see people, you know, these $1 million businesses, and they want to do it their way and they can't figure out why they grow. And then I see all the people that you just named in your group text, they could do whatever the hell they want now because they double down on the basics. They understand the principles. They challenge themselves constantly. But when you look at them, you go, well, these guys do whatever the hell they want. I want to be like them. Well, slow down, take the classes and the courses to get that grade, and then you can be in that company.
Yep. That's good.
Yeah. I would say the other piece of that, it goes perfectly what you said at the end, is I get so many people coming to me and they want like the perfect, like, prescription. Like, when do I do this? And when do I do this? And when do I do this? And I'm like, guys, here's the deal. Just like Julian said, double down on the basics. Let's do those things first and just be okay with, it's going to be a little bit messy. Like, guess what? I've hired very few people when I should have hired them. It's usually 6 to 9 months after I realize, oh crap, I think we're crashing that. Maybe we need the right person in the right seat. Yeah. So it's going to be messy and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to be uncomfortable following someone else's prescription, knowing that you don't have all the answers, and that's perfectly fine. Like, I would much rather just go to the person who probably has the answer and implement that than trying to figure it out on my own. So I think to what you said, just being super vulnerable with it being uncomfortable. It's going to be messy. You're going to mess up things. But if you really focus on the basics, they can take you a hell of a long way. You don't need to get fancy in this business, especially.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you probably experienced some, Julian, you're probably experiencing, you have 1,000 members. You're not going to know the position of 1,000 members, like on how other things are going. There's no way like you can do that. But you probably do know some who are being successful and some who are maybe struggling. I'm sure there's probably some variation of that, that, you know, not that you know all, but you probably have an idea of who some of the more successful members are. And I want to focus on that for just a minute. And it's not so much about the member itself as it is about, like, is there something that you're seeing that they're doing that is, you know, that is helping them be that, you know, still have a great year while, like we talked about, things being flat or call counts being down. That doesn't mean your business has to be down, and it's relative to what are you comparing it to? I get that. But what are you seeing something consistent among those who are, you know, still being successful? I'm going to use air quotes because I'm saying, like, anything that's, you know, flat or up to me is still successful. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, what are you, like, are you seeing anything consistent across those members that you're like, hey, I could specifically call this out? And maybe it's just the stuff that we're talking about too. Like, I don't know, but I'm always curious, like, if you're seeing, like, hey, maybe if it's not something in particular, maybe it's the business itself and what you know about the business that and their, you know, and how they run them that are making them successful. What do you got, man? Anything in there that you can think of off the top of your head?
The two things that struck me when you asked that, number one, not just the process, but the cadence of accountability. So I want to just double down there. We've said two things, but I think we've said both things, but I think we said them independently. Number one, you have this cadence, the process, but then you have a cadence of check-ins. So having the process isn't enough. Inspect what you expect. I had this conversation relatively recently with someone, and they said, it was a leader, and they were feeling weird about checking in on someone. I said, you're the leader. You're the leader of that department. And it's almost like having younger people who still live in your home. I'm going to open the door to your room and look in there when I want, if we have certain expectations with how the room should look. You have that right. Now, you don't do it at 2 a.m. You don't kick the door down. You know, there's ways that you can do it respectfully, but you have the right to inspect what you expect. And I say you have the right, but I would offer to the direct report that brought this up to me, I expect that of you. I expect that of you. I expect that if you're not having those check-ins, what I say here at Nexstar is it all falls up. If there's something going on at a different layer of the business that you are not pleased with the performance, you looking down and pointing down at that manager is not helpful. I would invite that the first thing that you could think that could help you get into action is, what have I done to put my fingerprints on this situation? It's most likely you haven't had the cadence with your direct report to ensure that they're having the conversations that they need to have. So first it's the process.
What's your responsibility? Gotcha. Like,
so yeah. the process with the cadence of checking in. So again, that's not sexy, but that is what I'm seeing in successful members. The second thing that came to mind is they build leaders around them. They empower leaders. The heights that your businesses are going to, both of you, are because at some point, Chris, you had to get out of the way and start trusting people. And I feel like I watched you go through some of that. I really watched you. And I mean this respectfully, because I struggle too. So when I use that word struggle, I watch you like, this is my baby. I built it. The color is orange. And here's why. And it's a rhino because, and I know it all. And I got this. And sometimes there are some things that you can get deeper growth by empowering another, letting somebody else run it. Let them get the little scratches and scars and stumble and fall a few times. But if you know the number of mistakes I made as the VP of Nexstar, I don't think the board ever knew about. Because the leader saw directionally, my person that I was reporting to directionally saw what I was doing. You know, these are not, you know, mistakes that would crash the business, but, you know, a little bit left, a little bit right, a little bit left, a little bit right. And by allowing that to happen, you know, it's fun when it was me, but now that I'm the guy that has to empower others and let them learn on their own and make mistakes on their own and talk last or let them run out a solution to see how they can do it. But those are the two things, not just the process, but the cadence by which you check on it. And number two, start to notice and develop leaders and future leaders. Just because when we hear us building leadership teams, that doesn't mean run out to the first person you think, give them a title and give them more money. That is not what I'm saying. What you need is a slow progression and path to leading others and managing. Managing and leading are two very different things. And I know Chad would really take us on a roll with that. But there's no way he has the business he has today with at some point removing himself from certain decisions, empowering others. So those are the two, the process, you know, as you really start to get, I'm going to make this up in my head as I think about it a little bit. I reserve the right to retract this or adjust it a little bit later. But really, right up where you get about 7 million, 10 million, 12 million, you still are pretty much the source of all energy. If you don't start figuring out your leadership team around the 7 million, that way you're prepped for the 10 and above, you're going to be in a world of hurt. Because now is not the time to go running after it. And then the next layer, which I believe that you both can speak to, you will start needing external talent. And that's a whole nother change management to navigate. I've been with you since the beginning, the 10-year promotion. I thought you liked me promotion, and you start to outgrow skills with the leadership that you need. And you need some people that have been farther than you have been. And you've got to bring, that's me right now. I'm looking in the mirror on this one. Nextar is larger than it's ever been. And I'm going to throw out something about disagreeing with your board. They don't run a coaching and training organization. They run a day-to-day service business. So there will be times when their questions, thoughts, or perspective is more from the experience they have. And I have to remind them, this is a coaching and training organization. And this business model is very different from your business model. And the way that we execute it can vary at times. So the third component I'll offer, the two are important. The third is a God's gift, if you have it. If not, get somebody around you who can do it. Associative learning. And here's what I mean when I say it that way. Someone who can look at an abstract concept and apply it back to your business. Some people just innately have that and others don't. I like to surround myself with people who will go to a conference on water treatment. And that's probably a bad example. Let me just say, they'll go to a conference on something technology, but they'll come back and say, I can see how this applies to the way that we communicate internally here at Nextar. Here's an efficiency. Like, I couldn't connect those dots, but they do, and they can bring it back. So associative learners to me is like kind of a more advanced, the business is growing and you're going into new and uncharted territories. Start with process, the accountability cadence, start building leaders. And then once you start to really explode, you got to get some wild, crafty people around you that just impress and scare you with the way that they think.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, well, first off, you started off with two and gave us three. So thank you for the extra, but for the bonus, that was great. I was taking some notes. One thing you said that really stood out to me is something I've been trying to, embrace for myself. Again, just another step of me trying to learn how to be a better leader was in any situation, I'm reflecting to find out what was my part in that? Like, did I somehow call, even if not directly, was it indirectly, did I take response? Like, what's my responsibility in what I'm about to share with somebody? And I learned that. So the podcast episode that aired the week that we were recording this was one about my experience with this Rise Up Kings thing, where I basically went to boot camp for 3 days in Texas to kind of reset myself and like all phases of my life. And that was one of the things I learned from there. I was like, you think you're far away from something, but was it a decision that you made that trickled itself down that then caused that person to do X, Y, Z? And maybe it's not, but you still have to look at it that way. Like, what's my responsibility in this thing? And that's half the battle. I think that's being a very responsible leader. And then you said, you know, the first thing you said is the cadence of accountability. So, and it is, when, you know, how often are you checking in on these things to be able to course correct if you need to, or just, you know, to make sure that we're keeping everybody on task. But the cadence of accountability is a big deal. And it's hard to do that when you're small because you're doing like multiple different things, right? So yeah, you might have to get some like organizational training. Like maybe you just need to learn how to work a calendar, like, you know, or something. But, you know, the cadence of accountability is a big deal. And that's not just for everybody else. It's also for yourself, like yourself as a leader or yourself as a manager, same thing. So I appreciate you sharing those things.
Yeah. I think too, The only thing I would add on accountability, and I add this mainly because we're going through this, where we've placed a bigger emphasis with our frontline management and our branch managers on meeting with people regularly, that cadence. We've focused on the cadence. And I think one thing, and I say it just because this is really the only industry I've been in, but I think one of the pieces of that cadence is making sure that your team knows that that's a good thing. A lot of technicians have grown up in a world where no news is good news. And so the minute that you start bringing them in regularly, one-on-ones, they automatically assume and associate that with a negative. And so like the whole meeting is just like deflecting and all of these scams as far as like why this isn't happening. It's like, no, man, like this is a good thing. Like I'm here to help you. And that may look different for you versus Johnny, but like, I'm here to help. And so I think that's a key. We've ran into it where we started up these one-on-ones, we're super excited about it as a leadership team. And then all of a sudden we're met with all this resistance of like, well, I got to keep going into these one-on-ones. I'm doing a great job. It's like, yeah, you are doing a great job. And we think you can do maybe a better job. Or we think you can just maybe improve, or we're just here to help. What sucks? What can we fix? So I think that's a key piece, especially as you meet with field professionals. It's like they've just grown up and been so just kind of trained that anytime my team wants to meet with me, I don't want to meet with the manager. And it's like, no, man, we got to break that cycle. Like feedback is good. It's not all negative.
Yeah, dude, that's a great point. I swear I'm like having these same conversations. It is. But you know what? Some of it is like, okay, I'm going to take my own advice real quick. It is, what is my part in that thought process? Right. It could be just industry, but like, what is my part in that thought process and how do I break it down? Is it the way I say it? Is it the way I wrote it? That could be taken the wrong way. And like, so like what part of that is on us? Like maybe you as a listener, what part of that is on you? You know, like you have to take a look at that. And by the way, that's not like a negative. That's a total superpower to like recognize that you have like that you've made this miss or that you've written, like you need to change the way you write. This is a total superpower. Like this is how I think the best become the best, is they pay attention to the little things. Like that's not sexy, right? Is calling myself out. Well, it is when you start scaling your business and growing it, it becomes something, you know, that you can, you know, create great wealth with, you know, and good culture and all this fun stuff by paying attention to the little things like both these guys have talked about. So, hey, we're like almost an hour into this thing already. And I feel like I didn't even get through the other four questions I've got. So but we talked about some good stuff in there. I do want to make sure that, you know, you guys have both said this in different ways, but we keep talking about like the unsexy tasks. Can you maybe just share from your opinion, like what are the most, Chad, I'll start with you. What are the most unsexiest tasks that you have to do, or that, you know, some of these listeners have to be paying attention to? Like sales, sexy. Marketing, sexy. Finance, meh. Recruiting, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes back to really the whole conversation that we've been having. You know, I knew that coming on this podcast, we kind of gave a public service announcement at the beginning that it wouldn't be all about Nexstar, but I feel like I know Julian well enough that I knew where this was going to go, and it was going to go down this path, right? Leadership, growing companies, what role and responsibilities we have. And when I think about kind of the unsexy pieces, it's reaching out to guys who are having a great week or had a great month and sending them a text and just telling them, hey, I really appreciate you being on the team. I'm really glad that you're seeing success. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help. And it's all of those things about like, how much are you communicating with your team? We talked about earlier of like, as a leader, we can see a whole lot more. And I've always told people that, you know, for the longest time, I had a lot of ideas bouncing around in my head and wondered why no one else was as excited about them as I was. Well, they're not excited until you share the damn thing. And so like I told my team, I'm in a meeting earlier today and working on this really cool project that we're working on with dispatch and sales operations and all this stuff. And I was like, I told the group at the end, I go, this is as much fun as I've been having quite a while. Like, this is a lot of fun to like get on the ground floor and like help where I can and, you know, lend my kind of tribal knowledge to the group to say, hey, here's some things we tried in the past, or, hey, we may want to, you know, look out for this or stuff like that. But I think it's just literally we can get so caught up in, as the business scales, is like these like higher level things that we're doing and these big decisions where, like, to me, my team responds probably best when they see me getting in the nitty gritty. Like, hey, where can I help? And it's not that I want to step on people's toes or tell them what to do. It's more so like, hey, can I help? You know, hey, I'm here. And so to me, those are like the things that I feel like build the most trust and rapport with the team so that they can continue to move forward and know that I support them. It's not like, oh, you're doing these things down here and I get to do these fancy things. It's like, I would rather be doing the non-fancy things because usually the fancy things are the things that I got to go relearn and figure out and I'm doing for the first time. It's like, no, let's just get back to the basics. And I really like those things. And I know that they're going to generate success.
Dude.
Okay. So here's some unsexy, and this will speak to a certain audience for sure. Actually I'll start super tactical inventory. Who knows a real inventory count in their warehouse right now? I guarantee you, even Chad in his great operation, he has a little bit of pain right now as he just thinks of it. That's not sexy at all. It is a huge part of your business. And I'll go on. The other thing that anyone I know that has any form of financial security and comfort, they know their finances. They know where every dollar is going. It's accurate. It's timely. They actually start to do some forecasting pro forma. They have a strategist on their financial side that can do a lot of what ifs for them as well. For some, that's not sexy. As you can tell, I'm getting very excited because I love that. I think it's super exciting. A lot of people just want to talk top line, bottom line. That's all we're doing. When you can start getting into some actual analysis, projecting, having deeper financial conversations with your leaders as well about where the business is headed on a higher level, not really sexy, you know, doing that work or getting the spreadsheets clean or challenging that information, the conversations you need to have there. So, you know, finances, inventory, those are two areas that we traditionally see overlooked a lot by new businesses. You know, well, I've got money in the bank, I'm doing okay. Well, you can uncover some real diamonds if you focus in those areas. And then I'll just double down on Chad's. You know, I found this too, as we've grown to become a larger organization. I was talking with a guy who's, you know, if we're just going by top line numbers, I said, we're headed in that direction. I want to get to know this guy and, you know, asked him if we could meet. And he said, I'd love to. And he just said, people. He said, you're as you move into this next phase of growth, Julian, in the position that you hold, the number one thing that you're going to get more of are people problems. And he said people problems, but it's not really problems. What he meant is that you have to now, you have been so focused, because I was telling the story, I told him the revenue level we're at, I told him where we were headed. He said, you've had the benefit of the operation coming at you. From this point forward now, you're going to have to actually go into the operation. And I have been feeling that for the last year as we've grown and we've got more leaders in place, which Chad's talking about walking around, walking the floor, hearing about your dog, about your weekend, all of this stuff. It's not the sexy, your kid just graduated, here's a gift, or give them a day off. It's just the normal, honey, we need to talk. And you get that times, you know, 100 plus, and pretty soon you just want to lock yourself in the office like this and do podcasts because this is cool. But the other thing that's happening out here is they're moving by. That's why I keep looking out. They're moving boxes. They're getting the pallet ready for super meeting. They're laughing. They're giggling. I don't think you guys can hear it, but they're just having a blast. And I'll tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather put my head down and figure out, you know, some financials or a spreadsheet, you know, because for me, I enjoy that heads down type of work. But the reality is I need to get out there and I need to check in and I need to be present and I need to listen. You need to get this pulse of the organization. And it's not just for the high performers. It's the inverse of what a comment I used to make in one of our training classes. In one of our training classes for technicians, there's a part where they're going to present the price. And when you're presenting the price to the homeowner, there's a part where we say, you know, this is insert script, make it your own, but say something nice about the company. And without fail, many, many classes, I'd see a hand go up and be a technician. And we'd have multiple businesses in the room and they'd raise their hand. And what if I don't have anything nice to say about the company? And you kind of hear a few chants around the room. Yeah, you know, a couple guys were thinking it. Yeah, you know, I don't want to say something about this company. And my response is pretty direct, whether they like it or not. And I say, well, that's interesting. Are you still collecting checks from that company? Because I already know the answer. Yeah, the company that sent you here. You still cashing the checks they give you? Yeah. So, well, it sounds like there's a conversation that you need to have when you get back home. And, you know, if you don't have within the next 2 days, you know, I'll pick up the phone and call your manager here. Because whatever it is that has you saying something to that degree, you either need to move on or have a conversation. Because these are the things that we need to focus on. So it's easy for me to say to a tech and make that fun. But the same thing is, am I cashing the paycheck every day? So am I just going to only show up to the board meetings, to my committee calls, and to my senior leaders? Or am I going to do the work to get out here and really understand what's going on? I was just praising someone over here for a solution that I had heard about. Ends up, this person told me, yeah, that came out of my breakout group. She goes, I'm so glad you heard about that. That was an idea that we were sharing in my breakout group. And I asked if I could bring it to the larger group, you know, to Chad's point, get it out of your head, brought it to the larger group. That group brought it to a department. That department brought it to our budget meeting. And I was this smart guy in the room going, how come we haven't thought of this before? Well, it's been out there this whole time, but people have to have the space to share, the ability to, you know, and then they have to have the trust that it will get edited. It'll change slightly and it'll grow and it will morph. But that's not sexy stuff, man. That is taxing. That's fatiguing. That's, I come home, I'm staring out the window, honey. And she says, how does your day go? And I just don't want to talk. And so this creates the new friction at home because it's like, I am spent, baby. I love you all my days. But, you know, segueing a little bit there just to make a point that it all trickles over. It makes up your whole life here.
Yeah, man, listen, like it's sexy that you can make it comfortable for somebody to give their opinion, even whether you use it or not, and or modify it, and then feel safe to be able to continue to give those things. And because the end result of that is what's sexy. The end result of the unsexy is what's sexy. So, God, that might be that might be what we have to title this podcast episode, something along those lines. It's like, you remember Chad was like, I think it was a few months back, like you went and hopped back in the truck, dude, and like rode with one of your technicians, like, you know, and then you went and did it and he was all jacked up about it, you know, about kind of what mm-hmm. he learned from it, but you know, wasn't on the radar there for a bit. That's been a few months ago. You did that, right, Chad? Or that?
Yeah, it's been a few months ago. It was still pretty, actually it was a little bit chilly. So yeah, it was probably like May or so.
Okay. So, but you know, again, like, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of times the biggest leaps or, you know, a movement you can make forward in the business is by focusing on these simple, unsexy tasks. You know, like inventory management sounds awful to me. And, you know, and by the way, learning a P&L also seemed very unsexy to me until you learn it. And then when you learn it, it becomes very sexy to you because you can understand better. And that's part of growth, right? It's like, you know, one of the episodes I just did was talking about you have to choose your hard. Like it's, you know, if it's hard to learn these things and you have success, you know, it's even harder to feel the impact of you not learning the things. And maybe you don't have as much success as you could have had because you chose, you know, the wrong hard. And everything's going to be hard at some point in time, you know, or you can just be on cruise control and just, you know, but that's not me. That's none of these guys. That's, you know, we aren't these people who just, you know, sit by and watch people do other things. Like, no, man, we're taking things, listening, willing to do the hard work, listening, willing to, you know, look in the mirror at ourselves and make those changes too. So I want to finish with this because, like, you know, what really we've went down the path of a lot of the experiences we've had, and also a lot of the things that, you know, Nexstar can actually help with. And you know, it's, like Julian said, it's not for everybody, right? But there's a lot of really great tools in there that have some of the largest and most successful contractors have implemented. They didn't try to reinvent the wheel. They work, right? And so you have that kind of assistance with Nexstar. And so what I want to do is, you know, for Julian is, because we're right at the tail end of this thing, and you guys have Nexstar Super Meeting coming up. And when this podcast airs, I think it's coming up in like a couple of weeks at that point, is still time for those who haven't signed up for this dang thing. Like, I love the effort that Julian and the Nexstar team have put into making such a great meeting. And I'm always a little bit jelly when I don't get to be a part of it. Okay. But I did slip in there last year because I have enough contractors that are there that I got to go to the bar and hang out for a little bit. I didn't even see you last year, Julian.
I didn't see you either. I would have respectfully watched you out. I'm just kidding. I just don't want a bunch of listeners to start popping up at the event because Chris has a long-standing, respected relationship with us. So that's why I threw a little jab.
Well, and it was in Phoenix. So, like, I just happened to be at the hotel bar at the same time. I'm just kidding. But listen, like, congratulations, man, on putting another awesome, you know, thing. It's at Disney, man. It's the most magical place on earth.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and with a lot of great speakers, a lot of great trainings, you know. And, you know, and so I think it's cool to watch what you've done too, bro. Like, the same thing. I give you the same flowers back. And so to our listeners, like, you know, if this is something that you want to, you know, to learn more about, we would encourage you. Obviously, like, Chad is like the perfect case study as the, you know, who's been, you know, leveraging these tools very successfully for years. So like, it's not just Julian on here talking about it. And by the way, like Rhino has a ton of Nexstar clients who say the exact same things, and they didn't all get lucky. Like they didn't get lucky. People are actually implementing those things, but they're also focusing on the very unsexy stuff too, to help work on these businesses, because that's what good business leaders do. So Julian, if you would, man, is there anything that we can share for like our listeners who want to check out Nexstar or anything like that, besides those who, you know, who maybe haven't signed up for, you know, for Super Meeting yet, like get on it. Like, what are you waiting for? This is your sign. But for those who want to, like, is there anything that we can maybe toss out to them that would be a little, like, I hate to put that on you. Like,
no, thank you for that. That's really nice. And I don't come into these expecting that. So I do appreciate it. What I'll do is I'll throw out a phone number here that you can always call and chat with the folks here and see if there's market availability or, you know, an event availability. We always welcome prospects to our events, not just Super Meeting, but Super Meeting, we welcome prospects as well. That phone number is 651-789-8550. 651-789-8550. And just give a call, give a chat. And we give lots of references also. So if you call and you know, that's our onboarding team and they tell you, you know, that's a closed market, we do refer other leading practice organizations. We do refer other individuals. It is about you getting the help that you need right now. It is not all about us.
Yeah, that's great. Thank the number was not 867-5309.
Yeah. Sorry. I wonder who has that to this day. Let's test it on air.
Okay. Now we're already well over. I'll dial that number.
Well, thank you, guys.
651-789-8550. Just so we can try to jack you all up. So there it is. Hey boys, I appreciate you coming on. Julian, thanks for giving me your time. And I know you're like right in the middle of the grind of getting this stuff squared away. We appreciate you, man, for giving us your time.
Always grateful, man. Keep doing what you're doing too, because I get the pictures from your events too, and I get a little doggone it. So keep rising it up, brother.
Next year, baby. Let's bring you back.
Let's do it.
All right. Chad, any parting words for our listeners, for Julian, anybody before we head out of here?
Yeah, I'd say the only thing is if you listen to this episode, Julian, and not to, you know, pump him up or anything, but I've known him for quite a while. And when it comes to leadership and how to, you know, do those things that are going to truly move the business, I look to him still. I've got 2 pages full of notes. I've got to talk with all of our management team tomorrow. And I'm going to use a lot of the stuff that we talked about here today. So all of these things, while they may not seem like they're going to get you more leads or close more deals or do anything like that, they are going to help build your team. And I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, I took away, and that I hope you take away as you listen. And, you know, most importantly, thank you, Julian, for your time. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Yeah, that's all I got.
Right on. Well, Julian, much respect back to you, brother. I'm glad we got to do this again. I appreciate our friendship and I appreciate the time. Listeners, I'll leave you with this. We talked about cadence of accountability, right? Like you are 100% control of that. Like, no excuse. Like you can control what you do, your cadence of accountability. He talked about inspect what you expect. We talked about build leaders around you. At some point in time, you have to be able to pass the baton to somebody who might not be able to do it as well as you, but can also free you up to continue to do the things that you do need to be focusing on. And then again, like the unsexy stuff, it focus on it, find those things, those pain points. And if you don't have the answers, that's okay. Like someone will help you find the answers and help coach you to it. And maybe it's something like Nexstar or whatever, but do something. And like we always say, Chad, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.